You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to get brutally honest.
I eat difficult conversations for breakfast.
What's that guy talking?
I eat like,
like Happy Gilmore.
I was just going to say.
I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
You eat difficult conversations for breakfast?
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
We're going to be brutally honest like that intro. Jonas, you're about one calendar year away from having to go Messier up top.
Why? Too long?
No, he's going to be gone.
Think so?
Yeah, there's some early signs.
Okay.
But when it happens, you got to go Messier immediately. Don't try to hang on for dear life.
Okay, I can do that.
Just a side note.
Thank you for that.
I don't see that at all. Where are you picking up on that?
It's just there's early signs.
What are the early signs?
Bit of a comb forward and a wave back.
So you're saying that that's deceptive?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. What other way do you do it when it's long? Like you? Yours isn't long.
What do you mean, like me?
You're growing your hair out.
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just telling them it's around the corner.
It won't be popular in my household.
If you go bald?
No, like if I shave it.
Why?
I don't know. It's just not a popular look.
Why? You've had that conversation?
Why? Do all your relatives and uncles have mullets?
No, it's more just the girl. My girl.
Oh, your girlfriend.
Yeah, won't be a fan.
So she has actually said before, don't ever shave your head.
Well, I used to do it.
Dude, when I first started working here, your Twitter pic was like...
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. It's not a popular look, so I've...
So it came to an end because... Your lovely girlfriend said, I don't like it, grow it out.
Correct.
And you decided...
I think it was a fair request.
You're willing
to
do that.
Okay, but what kind of request do you get back? Because I got a bunch for that one. We're not going to get into them, but I got some requests back.
What kind of response would she have if you told her how to cut her hair?
That's a good question. I would never do that, though. I get it.
Well, that's your response. If you want to stand up and show some nards,
no, but
you say,
so
I would never say that to you. Why are you saying it to me?
See, I've said
it
before.
If we're all into this 50-50, why say it to me?
I've said it before. I put an end to a hairstyle.
Really?
I put an absolute end to a hairstyle.
The Aunt Betsy bowl cut?
What did you say?
This was the thing. Like, it actually works out to look very good on my wife, but... You got to get through a transition stage. She'll, like, perm her hair.
No, 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 no.
But when it grows out, it's really curly. Like, it really looks great, but it's, like, 6 weeks down the road. So,
dude, you can't perm your hair.
That's what I told her. I'm like, I'm sorry. I like the end result here, but I can't get through the first month when you got the frizzy perm going on.
That's a risky play.
It was very risky, early in the relationship, too. It was very early. I went to pick her up. I almost drove right through the salon when I saw the perm. So I said, that's got to come to an end.
See, and she respected your wishes, and I'm just trying to do the same.
But I'm saying, I think you have a bullet in the chamber now. You can go back and say, I don't like the braid.
Or the outfit.
Or
back
the outfit.
Upstairs. I don't like it.
Right.
That's reasonable.
You got a bullet in the chamber,
Jonas.
Come on now.
Dude, you got it. I don't know, man. Let's get on to some hardcore sports talk.
Oh, really? You want to transition now?
He doesn't seem like he wants to do it. He has no bullet, he claims. So
I don't look at it that way. That's not how I look at a relationship. I'm not keeping score.
What are you, Dr. Phil now?
That was a very Dr. Phil type of response.
Wow, what? It's the truth.
That's not how I approach a relationship. Come on, man. It's all about the games. It's all about who has hand.
Like it's how you can piss the other person off more than they piss you off.
That's life in a nutshell.
Oh, yeah.
How long can you survive?
How long can you hate someone and then you die?
Oh, God.
That's how long our book would be.
Yeah.
If we ever wrote a book on
relationships. Is that like your book to marriage?
Yeah, basically. Can you survive?
No, I'm just going to call mine Hating Someone Till Death.
And you know what the best part is? That the person that would write like the opening remarks, or what do they call that in books where someone...
The prologue?
Yeah, the prologue.
Or the introduction.
Would be your partner in life. Like, you would be the one writing the book, and your wife would be the one that would write the introduction, saying, yes, I totally concur with basically everything that is coming in this book. But you're saying you wouldn't read that because you wouldn't believe in that.
No.
Okay. All right, it's good to know. Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press is in here.
Happy to have him.
It's good to have him here. Noodles is off today. And I'm a little disappointed Noodles isn't here because there are some goaltending conversations I would love to get into with him today. Put a quarter in Noodles because his boy, St. Carey Price, is a mess right now.
Him and Hank.
And Henrik Lundqvist is a shooter tutor coming into the ACC tonight. This is a good thing for the Leafs, unless you're of the belief
that
everything's going to even out at some point.
What about this stat for Hank? I think Duthie talked about it this morning. Seven times this year when he's playing an NHL game, the first shot on net has gone in. Seven times. So if you're the Leafs, maybe get after him early. Maybe, just maybe, the way he's playing right now. And he's flustered, man.
But how concerned do you think they are? Do you think they look at this like a blip on the radar? Because every goalie goes through it, like Price.
They are. I'm sure big picture they're thinking, if this is the end, I think he's got 4 years left at 8.5.
Yeah.
Maybe big picture they're thinking, man, this could get ugly. But I'm sure short term they're thinking this guy's going to come out of it sooner or later.
I think you have to.
The last couple years he's gone through stretches where he wasn't that good. And his backups played a little bit more. But this year might kind of raise some eyebrows a little bit more than usual. And for Carey Price, I can't remember how many games I'm tuning in. He's given up three or more.
He gave up four again last night, and a couple of them were like really weak goals.
Usually it's Carey Price in the net, two or less. Two or less. Can Montreal win 3-2 or 2-1 or whatever they do, but it's not three or more.
No, he's given up three or more, I believe, eight of his past 10 starts.
Got dummied in Mini the other night, gave up seven.
Right, and since the beginning of December, we're talking a month and a half, he's got a save percentage of around .890.
This is a guy... We got a guy who I thought after the first 2 months, like, there's no other Vezina candidate. Yeah. Now he's almost like taking himself out of it.
Based on the play over the past 6 weeks, he's not in the Vezina.
He's not top five.
He's not. It's Dubnyk, Bobrovsky.
Holtby.
Probably Holtby would be three.
Rask has been good.
And he's starting to come back to earth. Freddie Anderson's been good. I don't think the start is going to help him. I mean, he had obviously a couple of bad starts and...
But we were talking
October wasn't strong for him.
We were talking about the division. If Montreal, like if this continues with Price, who's the team to beat in the Atlantic?
I think you might be living in their city, Jonas Siegel.
Is that right?
I think the Toronto Maple Leafs are rocking right now, man. Like they're winning a lot of games. They're racking up a lot of points. And you look at teams like Boston yesterday. They were up 3-0 and 4-1 to Detroit, who are awful. And they blew that game. Florida had the game last night in Edmonton, even though I don't think they really deserved it. They blew it. Eberle scores late. McDavid scores in overtime. It sounds like Huberdeau may not be back again this year. Barkov's out for quite some time. Florida's not a great team. Boston's not a great team.
I still like Tampa. But
I like Tampa on time is running out.
You guys just keep hanging on to that. I was the only person that said when Stamkos got injured, this might be make or break for this team, whether they're going to go one way or the other. And you, too, keep saying, I still like Tampa. I still like Tampa. What are they doing that you still like them?
Like I said, I like
Victor
Tampa
Hedman
on paper.
Victor Hedman might be out now?
Yeah, I like Tampa on paper based on their talent, but they're not matching what the expectations would be.
No.
So you're right, man. I can't dispute that. They have not played well enough.
Yeah, but talent eventually you think is going to win out?
But if it's based on talent, then believe in the Maple Leafs because they've got a lot of talent. Matthews, Marner. Like I was talking to my dad this morning. You look at the Eastern Conference. Crosby, Malkin, maybe Tavares, maybe Backstrom in terms of the centers that I would put ahead of him down the stretch in terms of what I believe they're going to bring just because of their pedigree and what they've done and the fact that he hasn't had a stretch run because he's in a rookie season. So at worst, he's the fifth best centerman in the conference. So would you be disputing that Tavares could carry a team the final 40 games?
He ain't carrying that team.
No, he's not. But would you in a regular year? You wouldn't. You wouldn't dispute Tavares and his ability to dominate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying don't dispute what Matthews is doing and what he can do. Same thing with Marner. Same thing with Nylander. Freddie Anderson. And Mike Babcock is the best coach in the conference. And this kid, this guy, he knows what he's doing. He's been in this position before. So, you know, every game that passes by, I gain more and more confidence in their ability to hold on and push for home ice in the first round.
It's just they're really, really hot right now. What's he doing?
I don't know.
He knows exactly what he just did, and he knows how stupid it is.
Well, why am I not allowed to say that?
Don't
go down that road, but...
Anyhow,
moving on. Your take on that, Jonas.
I was just going to say, like, they've been exceptionally hot for a month. Can it continue to this pace?
Not, of course not. Like, they're not going 9-1-1 in every 11-game stretch.
And so, I guess, I don't know, and the East isn't, like, there's a lot of teams kind of bunched up there.
Well, here's another thing to take into consideration. New York has had some issues recently. The Leafs have three games in hand on them. They're 7 points back. If the Leafs win in regulation tonight, that first wild card comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the Rangers start coming back to earth, if you're assuming Pittsburgh, Washington, Columbus is going to stay 1, 2, 3 in some order in the Metro, Philly has already dropped out of the wild card. They've just handed that back to Ottawa and Carolina. If New York continues to give up goals and struggle the way that they have, the Leafs may not need to just get one of the top three spots in the division. The two wildcard spots could be there for them, too. So you're talking about four different spots that could be available to make the playoffs.
And they've got six in hand on Boston and are back two.
Right, and that's why this is very deceptive to look at the standings, because it's more about points percentages, and the fact is the Maple Leafs are way ahead of Boston. Way ahead of Boston. So,
well, what do you guys think could happen in the second half that would prevent them from making it? Injury?
Yeah, Freddie Anderson getting hurt, clearly.
Anderson getting hurt or slowing down? I still think they're going to score a lot. I don't know. I don't see that. Do you think that's a problem?
Them scoring?
Yeah, like absolutely, I don't think that's ever going to be an issue.
No, I don't either. There's too much talent there. There's too much creativity. Power play's too good.
Yeah.
They're going to score goals.
They're absolutely going to score goals.
They're going to go through stretches where it might be more difficult because things are going to amp up after the trade deadline. It's almost like, you know, a startup towards the playoffs where everything's just so intense. And for those young guys, can they make that adjustment and fit in and understand that that's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
But they can score.
And they're starting to give up a lot less. Like their defensive play, the way they're playing in third periods with leads.
I was going to say precursor to the playoffs. Would that have been appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to throw it out there because it might have been inappropriate.
No, I think that works. That's what we're seeing.
But
and listen, they're going to lose games. Like tonight may be the night where the Rangers have been struggling and they're due for a bounce back.
They're going to lose a string of games.
Yeah. They'll go through a three-game
losing streak.
Just
like we talked about earlier in the season when Todd McClellan was talking about the Oilers and what's going to be the major factor of them getting in the playoffs. And I believe he said, we're going to have some major adversity coming down the stretch, and it's going to be how we deal with that.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we don't know.
Yeah.
But the other thing, like if this Riley thing lingered, that hurts them. Like,
oh,
that
big
significantly
time.
Hurts
There's
them.
No question.
Suddenly they're going to be playing Polak and Hunwick a bunch more. Like, I don't know. How many games are he going to miss? He could miss 5 games. Who knows? Maybe more. I don't know.
Well, they were due for some sort of adversity in terms of injuries popping up. You knew that was coming. They haven't had anything significant all year. But it's also about making sure that you don't lose in regulation when you do lose. That's become the new NHL in the second half. Playoff teams, they lose in overtime or they lose in a shootout. It's got to be 3-point games. Like, that's what has to happen. And if you go back to the meltdown from a few years ago, after coming back from that California trip and they were up 9 points into a playoff spot with 14 games left, there were a lot of things that led to that, clearly. And they were a flawed team, and there were a lot of reasons why they dropped out the way they did. But from a standings perspective, more than anything, they lost in regulation every single game.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? You'd be watching in the third.
Is that the one where I said they were coming back with nothing?
Yeah.
San Jose, L.A., Anaheim, St. Louis, and they came back with nada.
But you got to pick up 3-point games. You have to, right? So that is a lesson that this team maybe hasn't learned. I don't know how you teach it. I don't know if you go in there saying, hey, guys, if you're going to lose, make sure you lose in overtime. But that's very important, is that you don't lose in regulation.
Well, and that means protecting leads. I think they've gotten better at that. I think, like, we've seen progress from them.
Without question. I was joking around more than anything about Carey Price and his issues, because I got all the faith in the world in him. He's going to turn things around. But did you see his post-game scrum last night? And how it got a little bit awkward?
Quotes. Yeah.
There was a scrum around him. He didn't play well last night. He has not been playing well for a month and a half. Let's play the audio of the back and forth and then try to define how tense it actually was in that room.
Do you feel like teams have been targeting your blocker side specifically?
I don't know.
Should ask them. Is it an area that you want to, when you have a chance to practice, work on?
You think I need to work on my blocker side? Okay.
He was not happy.
No.
I love the fake, awkward laugh from all of the media members.
Yeah, like this is actually kind of not funny.
It's not. There was nothing funny about it.
No.
It's hard to ask a goalie questions after a game.
Yeah, I know, but why would you
bad?
Be so stupid as to get specific? Just say, things aren't going well for you right now. What do you think is one factor that needs to...
That's a good question.
Yeah, instead of saying, are they going after your blocker? That's a dumb question.
Well, you're leading the witness, right?
Well, you're pissing the witness off in athlete terms, Jonas.
Yeah, he was not ecstatic with that because he knows he's not playing that well right now. And I guess there's more goals are going blocker side than they ever have.
Well, here's another question. In your career, can you ever remember a time like this where things haven't gone well, or is this kind of the bottom of the barrel for you?
You're pretty good.
Yeah, it's not that hard. And you guys go to school for this garbage.
Come on, Jonas.
Grade 10.
I think I ask good questions. I don't know about you.
I think you get in there. You're pretty provocative. You get the answers that you're looking for. Not provocative, but in a good way.
Sure.
Right? Not like weaselly way. Not this guy's an idiot way. But provocative in a good way.
This guy's such an idiot.
This guy's such an idiot.
Don't you miss him, by the way?
Phil?
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah, at times. A little bit. Frankie Corrado is going to play tonight. Do you want to hear an inspirational speech from
I love it.
Mike Babcock? This is as good
Anthony
as it gets.
Anthony Robbins.
If you can't get fired up to go out and play after hearing this inspirational quote from Mike Babcock, hang up your skates and retire, Frankie, because you don't have a pulse.
This is basically like watching Rocky III before you hit the ice.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that if I was him. I'd just play. I wouldn't worry about that. How can the situation get any worse for you? In his mind, right? You're not playing anyway. Why wouldn't you just go play? Let her hang out. Put your foot on the gas and worry about fixing her practice tomorrow.
How can the situation get any worse for you? And this is the guy who's made it worse for him because he doesn't play him.
He doesn't like him.
Well, he's playing him tonight.
But remember when you say he doesn't like him, people think it's personal. I just don't think he likes him as a player.
That's personal.
But it's not. It's
personal
to
the player. That individual player, Mike Babcock, doesn't like. And he's told Lou and he's told anybody else, I'm not playing him.
Yeah, but when you
to
say...
To think of the scratches, I think it's 71 scratches. That's unheard of.
Well, this is his
second
game
of the
year.
Honestly, if that was me, I struggled with a multiple-game scratch situation. 71? I would have been at home telling my agent, I can't do this. Like, either I go somewhere else or I need to play hockey because I cannot... The money's nice in the travel, in the hotels, but I'm not even playing. Mm-hmm. I would have been at home and said, I got to go somewhere else. I'm not a superstar, but I deserve something different than this.
Well, and the truth is, it's not really Riley's injury that led to this. It's Marinson's injury, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he'd be going in.
Marinson would be playing tonight if he was healthy. And Frankie would be holding a clipboard up in the press box.
Yeah, and if I saw Martin Marinson going ahead of me, I need to rethink where I'm at.
But you're trapped. What can you do? Just stay home?
I guess. I don't know.
You do what Peter Holland managed to do, I guess.
Stay home.
So whatever happened there, Holland ends up out and started playing somewhere else. So whatever happened in those rooms and whatever happened with those conversations, Peter Holland got a new lease on an NHL life.
But do you think it's actually possible for him to just go out and not, like Mike Babcock says, just go out and play? Like, when you played one game in the NHL all year, he's played some Marley games recently, but I don't know. I just can't imagine that's an easy situation to suddenly just try to play and not be worried about everything else.
I agree with you, especially in this situation where you're jumping on a moving train that is heading towards a playoff spot, and you're a kid from Toronto who's a Leaf fan, and you know everyone around you is talking about the excitement surrounding the team and how everything's going well, and everyone's freaking out because Riley's not playing and technically you're taking his spot. It can't be easy for Corrado, but this is why you get paid and this is why you're in the pros. We'll keep teeing up the game tonight. You can watch it on TSN4. Ray with the call. He'll join us just after 5 o'clock. Antonio Davis in about 10 minutes. on whatever Russell Westbrook was thinking last night, the travel heard around the world.
The waltz up the court, like just forgetting what sport he was playing?
I've never seen anything that egregious. Like that kind of a walk. He
forgot what he was doing. Like he literally went
brain dead. Yeah. He just checked out. Like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm walking with the ball and called the travel and possession arrow going the opposite way.
You want to talk about a maymay? He's got some maymays going right now.
Yeah, he does.
Walking through the woods in the park. He's got that ball.
It's a good meme game right now around.
He's got a maymay game.
Russell Westbrook. So we'll get into that. Raptors losing last night. He'll join us in about 10 minutes. And Ross Atkins spoke earlier today on Jose Bautista. You expected some spin. Did it go to another level that was unnecessary? We got a couple of clips. We'll play them for you.
You almost lost her right there.
But I survived.
You did, buddy.
I got emotional. This is Overdrive TSN 1050. All right, race coming up just after 5. We'll get to the Ross Atkins audio at 5:30 on Jose Bautista, the reunion. I expected him to speak glowingly about Bautista. Everyone should have expected that. He should be speaking glowingly of him. Guy's a legend of the team. They've invested in him. They need him to be productive. But there was one line from Ross that went a little bit over the top in terms of spin and trying to really sell the idea that this was a match made in heaven and had to happen and a part of the plan all along.
We're going to play the audio?
From both parties. Yeah, we're going to do that.
We got some audio today. I am really liking this.
We are actually bringing a lot of audio recently, I've found. This week, we've kind of been playing a little bit more, and that's the journalist in us, Jonas.
You're going right to the source, right?
Right to the source, man. Journalistic integrity on Overdrive. So we'll play that around 5:30. Ray just after 5. Antonio Davis will join us, though. His take on Westbrook versus Durant, why there's so much hatred. Has Westbrook began to look even worse since Durant left? And the All-Star starters will be announced tonight. Would he have Lowry and DeMar starting in the East? Isaiah Thomas, maybe. Kyrie Irving, maybe John Wall. A lot of disputing on that. So we'll get into that and more coming up. Antonio Davis will join us in 2 minutes. Rick Reiner later in the hour. Ross Atkins audio on Bautista and why the spin went a little bit too far at 5:30. Insiders in studio as well. I should point this out. Pierre LeBrun will be in at 6:20 with Bobby Mack and Dregs. And the Aaron Rodgers Packers jersey is in the house. So LeBrun will be wearing the Aaron Rodgers jersey around 6:20. I haven't worn it in a while, and I grabbed it this morning. There's a massive stain on the front of the jersey.
What kind?
It's like a pizza stain or like a wing stain.
That's okay.
I think it's fitting. I think Pierre will appreciate that.
So I obviously don't sit in here for that round table because there's not enough seats?
No, we got 5. Like, Jonas is going down to the game, so you're good. So you want to be a part of it, you're in, man.
Okay.
You sit wherever you want. We got 3 other mics, and Jonas is going to make his way downtown, so all good, right?
You can call me, too, if you need another voice.
Jonas, you understand that, like, the game's at 7:30, you can leave here at 7 and be down there.
How do you figure?
That's the time travel. It's 15 minutes.
All right.
It's 15 minutes?
Antonio Davis is on the line.
He doesn't want to hear us talk.
No, he doesn't. He's driven to the ACC more than probably any of us, and he doesn't really care. I don't think he would care.
No.
Let's bring in a longtime NBA or ESPN NBA analyst. Here is Antonio Davis. What's happening, AD?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Well. We were just talking before you came on. Have you ever seen a basketball player do what Russell Westbrook did last night, just walking up the court, just forgetting that he was playing basketball and just holding it in his hand?
That was the weirdest thing ever, you know, but it just goes to show you how he's just so focused on, you know, getting guys in their places and running the play and all of that. I'm sure we've all had those kind of, as my father-in-law called it, screen goes blank moments, you know?
But in a situation like that, is it worth fighting with the ref, or do you just have to be humble and say, you got me, I don't know what I was doing there, I don't know what I was thinking, here's the ball, we're on defense, I'm moving on? Or like, how would you react in a situation like that? Because it had to be embarrassing for him.
You know, my thing is, I love what he did. He just pointed at his head and shook his head like, oh, my goodness, what am I doing? But, you know, for me, he didn't gain an advantage. You know what I mean? He didn't do anything to gain an advantage with walking. Now, those are the rules. You can't circumvent the rules. You can't say that, you know, they don't apply because you don't gain an advantage. But my deal is, you know, I've seen that before, and I've seen the refs not call it, and they were standing right there. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. If I'm him, I don't do that. I just give him the ball and put my head down like he did and tell everybody, come on, my bad. I'll get it back next time. That's all.
With Antonio Davis here on Overdrive, since Kevin Durant has left Oklahoma City, has Westbrook's reputation league-wide, has it improved or has it gotten worse?
You know, I think Russell has had the opportunity to show a different side. It's like now he shows that, you know, he's a leader and he deals with guys differently. And although he's trying to will his team and do some other things, I think we get to see a different side of Westbrook. And in my opinion, I think it's changed. I think it's changed for the better.
Antonio, when we look back at kind of the time with Westbrook and Durant and OKC, we always kind of had these suspicions that they didn't quite get along or didn't see eye to eye. Now that we've kind of seen how it's played out since they kind of broke up, do you think anything different about their tenure together?
You know, it's sad, actually, for me, you know, because I truly thought that, you know, they were the best of friends, and they still may be. It may take some time to get over it, but the reports that you read where KD, you know, texts Russ or something like that, I'm hoping they're not true, because it's just, I'm sure Russ would have understood, listen, you're a man and you have to make the best decisions for you and your family and your situation. But if that was the case for him to find out via text after all they've been through and all the time they spent together, then I understand Russ's point of view, you know. But I also, you know, I've said before, we don't know what the circumstances were. We don't know what came into consideration for KD to leave. But as this is playing out, we can assume that maybe he just, you know, was kind of tired of Russ, and he didn't think Russ knew, you know, was going to eventually know how to win a championship or do what it was going to take to put them in a position. I don't know how much better position you can be in than be in the Western Conference Finals and have Golden State down 3-1. So I don't know what the better position was, but maybe he just didn't feel Russ was capable of doing that.
Well, it sure feels like the better position might be Golden State, because KD's having himself a time. I mean, he went off again last night, and that team is a juggernaut right now. And I had the take earlier in the week, and it was disputed heavily by these two guys. I feel more confident that Golden State will win the West than Cleveland will win the East. How do you feel about that?
Man.
Isn't that a ridiculous comment?
Yeah,
I think thank you.
Is there another word besides ridiculous? Hold on, let me
outrageous
for a minute.
Bring it, man. Know, I'm telling you, I feel very confident in Golden State.
And don't get me wrong, I do think that Toronto is closing that gap. You know, every time I watch Toronto play, I feel like there's just something there that they're going to squeeze a little bit more out and be a little bit better. So don't get me wrong. I don't think that Cleveland is going to walk away with this thing. They're going to have to play some great basketball to beat, you know, a couple good teams. But Golden State is, you know, you can't shake a leg at San Antonio right now. Mm-hmm. They're playing some phenomenal basketball, and I think those two big guys are going to give them some trouble, meaning LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol. And then you can't overlook what Houston's doing right now. You know, the six losses that Golden State had are to, you know, I think they lost to Memphis twice maybe. They lost to Houston, and they lost to San Antonio. They lost to the better teams. And don't get me wrong, they you know, Golden State is still trying to put it together. I think they're going to get better as the season goes. They're going to be going to the playoffs, and they're going to be a totally different team than they were the first game of the season. But they're going to have a tough task ahead of them to get back to the finals.
With Antonio Davis, ESPN NBA analyst, former NBA or former Rap, and tonight may feel a bit nostalgic for Raptors fans when the East and Western All-Star starters is announced, and some people expecting both Lowry and DeMar could get in there, and we know that yourself and Vince were starters early in the early 2000s. What's your take on this? You know, it seems to be a lock that DeMar is going to get in. As a starter, but then it's Lowry, maybe Isaiah Thomas, maybe Kyrie, maybe John Wall. Who else do you have in the backcourt as a starter in the East tonight?
Wow, you know, that's a great question. And if it was my vote, my choosing, and you are asking me, I think I would go with Kyle Lowry. You know, I just think that as you watch those teams and at that team and what he brings each and every night, you know, with what he's surrounded with compared to what Kyrie is surrounded with. And I'm not even going to include John Wall in there because he's just now, to me, starting to play some great basketball. And the team is now starting to have a little bit more success. Isaiah, what can you say about the mighty midget? I mean, he just continues to explode and get better. But I think for what Kyle Lowry is doing for that team and the position they're in now, being second in the East, I would definitely go with Kyle.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Now, I'm a little bit biased, but I will certainly put Kyle and DeMar in the backcourt.
I'm a little biased too, but I believe what I'm saying.
Right.
Antonio, you mentioned that you think Toronto's actually closing the gap with Cleveland. I wondered if you were in that locker room, how you'd feel about, you know, the potential for a trade and feeling like you probably need one more piece to get over that hump. Like, would you be wanting Masai Ujiri to go out and make that splash? Like, would you be disappointed if he didn't?
No, I don't think I'd be disappointed if he didn't. But I do realize that, you know, we need to make a move, you know, and the, you know, Masai's job is to make sure he puts the team in the situation to be the best they can be and go as deep into the playoffs as possible. So I don't think that I would be disappointed, but I think the thing for me, if I'm a leader or if I have some say-so, is to go and sit down and talk to him and tell Masai this is how I feel, and I totally understand one way or another, but I know we need another piece in order to beat that Cleveland team.
All right, what if that other piece was Carmelo Anthony? Then what's the response?
Nah, I don't do that. That's not the piece.
We kind of said that yesterday.
Yeah, me neither. But some people are floating that out.
That's not the piece we need. No. You know, I feel bad for Carmelo. I mean, I don't want to say feel bad. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the guy's obviously in a great, great position. I just feel like he's in a tough spot. You know, he tried to prove that, you know, he wanted to be in New York. I don't think he's said in any kind of way that he didn't. Mm. And now the reports come out that, you know, between he and Phil and all of that, I just, you know, I feel for him because I feel like, you know, his career now, you know, is he's at that crossroads and he has to make a decision. Do you want your career to be about, you know, you being loyal to the Knicks, or do you want to have an opportunity to win? And if I could tell him anything, is I would be don't pass up that opportunity to win.
Should be a fascinating few weeks leading up to the trade deadline and down the stretch run. We always appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you, Antonio.
Thank you, man. You guys take care. Appreciate you having me on.
There he is, Antonio Davis. Former All-Star for the Toronto Raptors.
What did he call Kyle Lowry?
No, he was talking about Isaiah Thomas.
The mighty midget?
Yeah, he's real small.
I know, but
you would get in trouble if you said that on TV, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't. I'm surprised I just said it on radio.
Is that a word that just is gone now, right?
Midget?
Yeah.
You can't say that. We talked about it once. Remember, we're talking about bars that people hire them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did we get in trouble for that? I don't think we got in trouble, but I think it may have been suggested.
Well, there's a bar in Pittsburgh that you go to. What is the proper terminology?
Little person. People.
Yeah,
little big person.
Guy comes out of a little house and pours shots down your throat. It's unbelievable. Google it.
Race coming up in about 20 minutes. Ross Atkins audio on Bautista around 5:30. We'll hit the Grit Grinder next. We also have some Bill Belichick audio. Maybe we'll play that right now because Belichick's always a grinder. And a lot was made of him yesterday talking about how he's preparing for Pittsburgh. And he always sounds like a robot, Belichick.
Is that a shocker to you?
No, it's not. But there was a comment that he dropped yesterday. And immediately people jumped to the idea that he was trolling a couple of teams. And I didn't see it that way at all. He was asked about the luxuries of home field advantage and what kind of benefits come with that. And this is what Belichick said.
Bill, I know you always say the best team wins, whoever plays better on the field. But having the home field advantage and playing in front of your home fans, how much does that help you?
I don't know. Go ask Dallas and Kansas City.
So it's such a typical Belichick answer. But immediately people say, oh, he's trolling Kansas City and Dallas.
No, he's not. He's saying they had home advantage and they lost.
That's right. That's a message to his team. Don't think that because we're at home, you're going to win this ballgame. Telling the media, hey, relax. Like, show some respect for Pittsburgh and for Green Bay because those were the two teams that rolled into Dallas and Kansas City and won their game. I just think, you know, in 2017, we immediately look for the controversy and the troll job when a lot of times it's not really even there. And Belichick was not trolling. He was just being honest. This is the AFC title game. Great, we're at home. We'd rather be at home, but it doesn't mean we're guaranteed to win anything.
No.
Would you have a follow-up on that, Jonas, if you were in that scrum?
I'm just trying to put myself in that situation. I know coaches don't like when you say this. It's a big Babcock thing. You know, Mike, you said this about Corrado. I didn't say that. Anyway, that's where my mind was going. But Belichick, that's just how he is. Like, I don't think he's... He generally doesn't say anything.
Well, why wouldn't you say, seeing what happened last week, do you consider this just a coin flip? Or
you should be a reporter. You ask better questions than 90%.
I mean, I don't know what you people do you think. Or
some don't.
Like, seeing what happened last week, Dallas out, Kansas City out, is this just two football teams? It doesn't matter where it's played? There is no home field advantage? Maybe you get a comment out of him there.
How real do you think home field advantage is?
Well, I think it's real. I think the numbers back it up.
Agree. More in football.
In the NBA, it's massive. Home teams, like the elite home teams, rarely lose at home.
How much in hockey?
I don't think as much.
I think it's massive in hockey.
You do?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Sometimes on the road, you just don't feel like playing. Hurts more for some reason. Just feel good at home.
That's interesting. Because I never thought it actually meant anything. Not anything. I never thought it meant as much as the media likes to make it out to be.
I just think on the road, things can topple on top of things pretty quickly. Like, they get a couple early. The crowd's into it. You're like, oh, God. Goalie sucks. It's like...
But don't you have more focus on the road? Because that's it. Maybe
not
it. I
don't think I'm the one to talk about focus on the road.
That's the thing. People want to believe in that cliche that these guys just sit. Well, I mean, if you're in New York for a day off, what do you think they're doing?
But there's only a handful of New Yorks.
There's soon to be a Vegas. There's an L.A. There's an Anaheim.
There's no new markets. Like, they're all big cities.
Right.
There's stuff to do.
Nashville, South Beach. There's a lot of, like, Chicago, Boston. You can go down the list of party cities.
Not even that. It's just... Getting out there and wandering around. You're not, like, going out and getting tanked every day.
But you're enjoying yourself.
You're just seeing the city.
Right.
What it has to offer.
All right, let's get to the Grit Grinder.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
I got a two-pronged attack. Andre Pavlik. Pavlik. Jets gets a win in the minors. And Zach Kassian, we've all know the difficulties he's had. He's become a nice little role player for the Edmonton Oilers. Big guy. Scored a goal last night. He's just kind of been... They haven't had a whole lot of that in the past, so that's my two-pronged attack.
I'm taking Brent Burns, another goal last night. He's on pace for 35, which would be the most in like 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, but you still had Doughty as your Norris Trophy winner.
It's not the leading scorer for defensemen, but okay. Anyway.
Joel Embiid is my Rick Griner. This kid is a beast. The process is coming together because that Philly team is improving. Ben Simmons has not played one game yet. The idea of Simmons and Embiid in your front court for the next 10 years is terrifying for teams in the East.
So was it worth it?
Well, it's not determined
Don't
yet.
Forget about our boy.
Nick Stauskas. Nicky didn't have the greatest game last night.
He didn't the last time.
No, he didn't score a point last night. Again, 16 minutes, pointless. But
he was good in the room.
He was good in the room, and he was a grit grinder on defense. There's your 40-30 low center of gravity grit grinders. Ferraro coming up, teeing up the Leaf game tonight. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.